Welcome to Life Together, a podcast for Gresham Bible Church, where we exist to glorify God in being disciples who make disciples of all people through the transforming power of the gospel. Before I tee up this last episode about our church's distinctives, I wanted to let you know that this will be the last episode before we take a summer break on the podcast. We'll start a new season again in the fall, and I look forward to some things we have for our next season. For now, summer would be a great time to check out any prior episodes you may have missed. And as always, we'd welcome any feedback you may have about the podcast. All right, for this episode, we close out our discussion through GBC's distinctives. We focus on our eighth and final distinctive, which is multiplication is the vision. We think through some of the importance and goodness of this distinctive in the life of the local church. And we discuss some of the implications for each of us personally and for us corporately, including the dynamics between church growth and church health, why we value being a one-service church, and how that helps us in being a faithful Great Commission church. I trust you'll find this discussion helpful as we consider what it means that multiplication is the vision. This week's podcast, before we take a break for the summer, we are going to talk about our last distinctive, and that is multiplication is the vision. I just want to be totally upfront. I love talking about this distinctive and what it's capturing in GBC 101. Just love sharing about this. So been looking forward to this podcast episode. So let me read it and we'll jump in. Multiplication is the vision. Our vision isn't to grow big, but wide. We aim to be a mid-sized church with one worship service, not because we think small is better, but because of the nature of the mission Jesus has commissioned us with. Our leaders are committed to reproducing themselves, and our missional aim is to raise up leaders of all kinds, plant churches everywhere, and send out foreign missionaries to bring the gospel to the unengaged and unreached peoples across our globe. Then, we should know this, but just in case we don't, to clarify, this isn't us just throwing words on a page. This is all because of the Great Commission in Matthew 28. So I want to read that for us, have the Great Commission like echoing in our ears and informing this conversation. So Matthew 28, I'm going to read 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And he says he's going to be with us always. And then he leaves the scene right there, which is pretty amazing. All right. So multiplication is the vision, Great Commission kind of stuff. Again, love talking about it in GBC 101s. Hopefully this podcast discussion just kind of helps us think through why we say this. I'm going to frame it and then we'll bounce this around together. So thinking about multiplication is the vision. I trust most everyone that's listening to this would agree with me. Every church that worships Jesus should be about the Great Commission, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's like the floor that comes with the territory.
I'd hope so.
One would hope so, right? So often though, in churches and local churches and even in big C church denominational stuff, it more becomes about like the how. Mm. And like think about, you know, like a giant cruise liner. It's more like rearranging the chairs on the deck about how are we going to be about the Great Commission. And so we have this as a distinctive because we don't want to assume it. Mm-hmm. We want to be explicit that Jesus calls individual Christians, 2 Timothy 2:2, we'll talk about here in a minute, and then the church to be advancing the gospel, to be multiplying, to reaching the nations. So we have that as a distinctive because, again, we don't want to assume it. So we can talk about kind of the why and the how, because we don't want to miss, how we're accomplishing it. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when that becomes the only discussion, you start to lose sight on actually the why. So it's a question of why first, and then the when and the what and the how. So Jordan, thought experiment time. How would a church, what would a church become if it didn't have the Great Commission, like in its eyes and in its heart all the time? What would happen?
It would die.
Yeah.
I mean, we see this. The most common way that churches in America especially close is that it's the same people who've been going to the church for 40, 50 years, which is great. Loyalty, good, awesome. But they never, they became insular. They became, I think the really extreme dangerous part is to almost make a fortress, a barricade of, we have to protect ourselves from the outside sinful world. And so there's not a desire to reach those people, you know, in quotation marks.
Yeah.
And so it makes you get smaller. I mean, I've served in churches where people were like, man, I just love everyone at this church. I just want to stay exactly the same. It's like, okay, I'm glad you love everybody here, but we should probably be trying to reach more people. And we're not trying to, and that was a church, we weren't trying to turn into a mega church or anything, but like, what? Like, how could you say something like that? So I don't know why that mindset creeps in. I mean, there is something that's nice about the familiar and what you know and and all of that. But yeah, I mean, this is like literally the last command of Jesus. And this is plan A with no plan B. It's up to us. And why would we want to hold on to the good news of salvation, the good news for death and pain and hurts and sorrow and grief and loss, you know, like that even doesn't make sense. Like to truly be transformed by the Holy Spirit, I don't want to sit on this. I got to tell other people about it.
Yeah, man, yeah. That's a really good word. You're right. We could talk about this for a long time, but there's something in all of us, like in our individual human hearts, and then collectively as groups of people, especially during seasons of lots of change, like the world we live in, and even lots of fear, like the world we live in, and the fear of the other, like the world we live in, you do want to build up higher fences. You want to like protect what's yours idea. And yes, we're to guard the gospel delivered once for all time, Jude 3, and we're to advance the gospel.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you're right. Amen. If a church doesn't value the Great Commission, isn't about the Great Commission, it dies. And I think in God's economy, God's designed it that way.
Yeah. 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 You're probably right. Yeah. Yeah. We've been going through the book of Acts with our youth group. And it's just so amazing to see how many stories end with, and they grew in number, you know, like, and the numbers were increasing every day or whatever. And it's like, because obviously that's the beginning, the explosion of the church, but it's because everybody, not just the apostles, not just Paul, are loving, taking care of, and teaching people about Jesus. And it's like the only response to that is for the church to grow. And that doesn't mean that like, if we're not exponentially growing every year by some corporate X factor that like we somehow are not being a faithful church, but, the gospel, while being offensive, is also attractive because it's saying you can't do it, but someone has done it for you because they love you in terms of providing the means for salvation. And you don't have the answers. We have a God who is the creator of all wisdom and knowledge. And, you know, we still can't give you 100% every answer, but we can give you a purpose and a direction and a hope. And I think we're all searching for that. It's just that we search for it in different ways. And so it's weird to me, like if everybody's looking for an answer to the why of life, why would a church not want to be offering that as much as possible? So, and I'm thankful that GBC has this as a distinctive. I think this would happen even if it wasn't written down on our website or in our bylaws or whatever, but, and I don't see this going anywhere with GBC. And if it does, may God shutter the doors of GBC, you know? Yeah, if that ever happened.
Yep, amen. No, I love where you're coming from, brother. And we'll talk about it throughout this conversation, but just kind of put a placeholder on it or footnote. By growth, we mean biblical gospel growth.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to mean that a church, to your point, a church isn't growing by X percent and you have to be the biggest and all this stuff. It's not, we're talking about gospel growth. Yeah. We're talking about like planting healthy churches idea, not just like building your own brand, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So, So I don't know about this. Don't want to hear your thoughts. I feel like, though, there's a misconception sometimes, stated or unstated, a church has to choose to be quote unquote healthy or quote unquote grow. Mm. And I guess maybe I've created my own thought experiment here, but I think that's a misconception. That's not in line with scripture. And yet I hear that sometimes in different conversations. I'm not saying within GBC, but just out there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Thoughts, grow, or health. Do you have to choose?
No, I don't think you have to. I could see how larger churches, while they're able to do more things with more resources, there is an aspect of you literally just can't know everybody at your church, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like if we think of like Barlow High School as our main high school students come from there, and that's what, like 1,000 kids that go there. If I ask our students, do you know everyone? No, I don't know everyone they go with. I graduated with 180 students. My school was 600. And I had my 20-year class reunion last year, and I looked through my yearbook before I left and was like, I remembered 97% of the names of people I went with.
Wow.
And the people I didn't remember were like, oh yeah, they like came later in the year, or they were like a, you know, they also did college classes or whatever else. But it's like, it was a smaller group, so I knew them. And so there's like depth to those relationships that wouldn't be the case at a place like Barlow. And I think that can happen with larger churches. I'm not saying that happens all the time, but you know, so that could make it feel that if it's a numerical growth, it doesn't feel as healthy because you're not connected not only with other people in the church. A lot of times you're not even connected with the elders and pastors of the church, because and they're wise in that, okay, we need to bring on more elders, more pastors to minister to these people. But there's something to be said that anybody at GBC could text or email you and you're going to respond to them most likely by the end of that day, depending on what's going on.
Yep.
There's some places you can't do that. There's some places where they've never even met the lead pastor. And again, I'm not trying to disparage those churches, but it's just different, you know? And so our idea of, yeah, we want to grow in numbers, and God's been faithful. We've seen some growth, but I hope we're seeing growth in a healthy way, in a discipleship, you know, deeper relationship with Jesus and one another sort of way. And yeah, I think that we've been able to do that, but we're never going to be a church that has 1,000 people. I don't see that in our future or in our makeup. Like, that's not what we want. So.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And again, maybe it's a false dichotomy I've created in my own mind, but just capturing and thinking, reflecting on some different things I've read or in different conferences or meetings or whatever. Yeah. Growth and health. And I would offer for us as Aggression Bible Church, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not
absolutely
an either or. Like, sure. Our metric that we care about is health.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we're healthy, when we are in tune with the gospel and who God calls us to be, like, then we're to be about advancing the gospel. So those things play off and feed one another. But yeah, just kind of think it's important for us to have that on our minds. So I appreciate you bringing it up. In this distinctive, it talks about we're committed to being a quote unquote mid-sized church. Mm-hmm. That can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Like, I don't even know who the church experts are, but whoever they are, whoever you
Tom
are.
Tom Rainer used to be the main guy.
Yeah. You know, that would give us a lot of room for growth.
Yeah.
And though we are committed, it's in our distinctive. We're committed to be a one service church.
Mm-hmm.
How's that strike you?
I mean, I like it. I've been at church, the church I grew up in that my dad pastored, it had two services, always, eventually got to the point of needing two services. And we lived in a college town, so it was more younger in the later service because college kids like to sleep in and go to a later service. I served at a church in Salem when I was in Corbin that was a church of like 4,000 people. And I didn't know a whole lot of people I went to church with. The youth group I served at was like 220 people.
Wow.
And that was middle school, just middle school, not even high school. So I was huge. And there was good things about it. They were doing lots of great things in the community, but like I never met the lead pastor or half the people on staff. And so I like the one service thing is that we are all Life Together podcast. Everyone at our church has the opportunity to do life together, that you get to know the people you're with. It's weird to sometimes be like, oh, I didn't even know you went to my church, you know, like, oh yeah, I've been going here for 12 years. Like, oh, I guess we go to different services and never meet each other. Like, that's not to say that that's bad, but I like that I know who I go to church with. And so when I see them around town, it's like, oh, hey, how are you? I can catch up when I'm in Fred Meyer line or whatever. And I think it creates a family feeling, community to it, but we're not trying to keep this to like a small insular family.
Yeah, amen.
But I don't know. It's hard to describe. Mm-hmm. It feels right. I'm not saying that churches that do multiple services are doing it wrong. I think for GBC, it feels right. I love that all of our elders are so approachable, not just to talk to them after service, but to get coffee or have them over for a barbecue or having people to their houses or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. like that's different. And I think it makes for new people that come and for people who've been here a while, have a connection point that you don't always get to see.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. I always find it interesting in GBC 101. Again, when we go through the distinctives and when we talk about we're being a one service church, for the most part, it's just really interesting. People resonate with that.
Like, yeah.
Oh, wow. I love that.
Yeah.
We don't have time on this podcast episode, not the purpose of this one episode, but I'd welcome further discussion about why. It's kind of how it manifests itself or plays out. A lot of what you said, brother. And if we're going to pick our set of problems, those are good things to have, mm-hmm. but it's even, there's principles behind it. And I would offer to kind of prime the pump, if anybody wants to hang out and have this conversation, like define what a church is biblically. And then tell me, all in love, this isn't Hilda Don by any means, but like, how does that play out when you have lots of services over lots of days? Mm-hmm. I think there's a world in which, and I think it's a world we live in, that each of those services are probably actually their own church.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And so again, you and I know people, we love people who have multiple services. We're not throwing shade or elevating ourselves, but for us as a church, I think the clearest line between God's word and the church is having a one service church. And then when we lean into that, it's in our distinctive, there's a lot of health and it clarifies a ton of stuff, mm-hmm. clarifies what our footprint's going to be mm-hmm. when we've met with some different consultants about church buildings. Okay. What do you guys think about this, this, and this? We tell them boom, 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 our distinctives, like, wow. Okay. That makes it really clear and really simple. This is what you guys are and what you want to be about. Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I think it actually is a good constraint because it's going to, I don't know the future. I'm not the prophet or son of a prophet, but you can see enough on the horizon in this area and population growth and just how the Lord is working right now. Mm-hmm. It's not outside the realm of possibility that we are going to have to, quote unquote, have to plant a church.
Yeah.
And by being a one service, mid-sized church, it makes you become that and be about it, mm-hmm. not in an aspirational kind of way, but like in a real way.
Yeah.
So I would offer to us as a church, this is good stuff to mm-hmm. be thinking about. It helps us not just be comfortable and building our own thing. It helps be about, I think, more God's big kingdom than our little kingdom. Yeah. So, more that could be said, but we're pretty explicit about it. Again, it's in our distinctive right here. We value being a one service church. So I think that's important for the members of GBC to understand the why behind that. Cause I think it's life giving.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, we're a 17-year-old church plant at this point off of Cornerstone Church, who we still have a great relationship mm-hmm. with. And our founding planting pastor, Virgil, has left and planted another church. So we've already seen, I think, how neat it is, and you know, to be a part of supporting, either being in a church plant ourselves or supporting Virgil and Kelsey as they go to plant Redemption Church in Eastside Portland. But I was just thinking too, as you were talking, like this kind of even fits in with our last distinctive of less is more, of by only having one service, think of how much different that makes Sunday mornings for whoever's preaching that day, our worship team, our children's volunteers, our operations, our coffee, of like, we're making it so they only have we can't do without volunteers, and I'm not like disparaging jobs, but like, it's not as much as if you had three services you had to worry about, and it can really take away from even the people that have to almost perform. It almost starts to feel like, and I'm not saying it always does that, but you have to be on, you know, it's like, and it's, so it's hard to like get something yourself out of service because you're thinking about, okay, I got to do this next and this next and this next. And I hope it's life-giving to all of our volunteers that you get to actually enjoy the sermon time and the worship time because you're not having to think about, well, I still have 27 other things to do because of all these services that are popping up.
Yeah.
That makes a huge difference. It makes it so that, as I was saying before, that our elders can actually connect with people after church. Mm-hmm. They don't have to worry about the next thing they got to get to, or we got to get you guys out of the sanctuary so we can bring the next group in or whatever. Like, there's none of that. People are there as the one of the people that's the last one out the door every week with operations. There are people hanging out that's like, all right, hey, we really got to go because the people locking up this building need us to like leave or whatever. It's like, okay. And then they'll take you out to the parking lot or go get lunch or something. You can't do that as well at places with multiple services. So you start to develop relationships in a different way.
Yeah.
And I hope for our volunteers that they thankful for the jobs, the duties you're doing, but then you're still getting something out of that service time once we're done with all the setup and whatever else needs to happen.
Yeah, that's really helpful to hear you speak to that. And I hope the church can hear us when we're talking about it. We're not choosing methods over principles. This is more principle driven than method driven. And yet it has a lot of health in our methods and how that plays out. But again, like if you were going to make a decision-making matrix, mid-size comes before the one service in terms of looking into the future for GBC. So mid-size, I mean, you can define that a lot of different ways. It could be all the way up to 500 or 600 people. But there would come a point in time where if we're going to value being a healthy one service church, that's the Lord making it crystal clear, hey, we're supposed to plant. And so that shouldn't just come all of a sudden, no, now we're ready. That actually infuses and informs like how we do ministry right now. Mm-hmm. It's helping us be intentional about preparing, if it's the Lord's will, to be a church planting kind of church. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just a few other quick things. I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't at least touch on it. In the distinctive, it says we're committed to, you know, leaders who reproduce themselves. I'd offer to someone, like, if you were going to define leadership, it has to include the element of reproducing. Mm-hmm. That's just part and parcel with what leadership is. You reproduce yourself intentionally or unintentionally. That's just what happens. And so we want to be a church where leaders intentionally reproduce themselves in a disciple-making kind of way. So 2 Timothy 2:2 would undergird that. So that's also, if multiplication is the vision, that helps us have a healthy and biblical understanding of what leadership is as well, which is really cool. People make, all right, blah, blah, blah. How does this actually matter in the life of GBC? I would submit to our church that multiplication is the vision kind of captures a lot of the stuff that elders have been talking about over the last year and a half, like directionally, trajectory, opportunities for us to continue to grow in and be about in. So this is a little more timely than timeless, but in a recent member meeting, the elders shared, we kind of like a four prong, like points of emphasis we want to grow in. We'll never be perfect in this. It's not the point. We want to grow though. And those three areas are global outreach, biblical literacy, basically biblical fluency, leadership development, and a long-term facility. So think about those in terms of this last distinctive. Mm-hmm. If we really believe, and we're really supposed to be the kind of church that multiplication is the vision, that should show itself. Mm-hmm. And that should show itself by us being a sending church to reach unengaged, unreached people groups. It should be a church that continues. We are this, continue to grow in our biblical fluency, knowing God's word and how to communicate God's word, leadership development, growing the servants for the sake of the mission of the church. And then again, if the Lord so provides, a long-term facility for long-term ministry. So I'm excited about that stuff because it's straight on the pages of scripture. Yeah. It's the mission God's given us as Christians and as church. And so I hope people can hear multiplication is the vision. Great. That sounds like a bumper sticker. Every church says that. Every church should in its own way. But then, okay, how are we making progress in these things? I hope GBC can hear, I'm speaking for the full elder team right now and any future elders, like that's our heartbeat. Mm-hmm. We really want to grow in these things. Cause the horizon that we're pastoring towards and we're to be Christians towards isn't like just right now. Mm-hmm. It is be present. And it's the horizon ahead of us. And so if we want to be a church that is faithful in these things, we have to kind of dream and think big and pray big and take big swings and be courageous. And all of that doesn't mean you're not being faithful, but because you're faithful, you want to advance the gospel in these ways. So Absolutely. Anyway, a lot more that could be said. Last thing, thinking about this, thinking about parents in the life of our church, whenever someone's listening to this now, 5 years from now, I don't know. If you are a parent, be praying for your kids, be praying for when your child is in the womb, when you're thinking and praying about trying to have kids, and when your kids are grown, pray that they will catch a vision to be the kind of Christian that multiplication is mm-hmm. the vision. And mm-hmm. I really mean that. That I just want that to be like the heartbeat of our church. In God's kind sovereignty, I pray he sends some of our kids near or far so that we can see this on display. Mm-hmm. That's easy to say right now when it means that your kids are the ones who are going thousands of miles away to hard places, or your grandkids, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But if we're going to be the kind of church where multiplication is the vision, like it requires sacrifice, but a sacrifice you'll never regret. So I just hope that our church is excited about multiplication as a vision. Yeah. And it's not just for the, hey, I hope so-and-so listens to that. Right. It could be you mm-hmm. and it could be your kids. Yep. And so how should we like be thinking and praying and all of that about it? So
first I thought you were going to say parents multiplication is the vision. So have more kids. So I'm glad you went a different route.
Oh, I missed a huge opportunity. That is one good church growth strategy, brother. That is, that is. Love lots of kids. All right. So, hope these conversations on our distinctives have been helpful. This was producer Jordan's idea. Great idea. Just as people are wanting to know more about GBC. Okay. What do they mean by this? Hope these podcasts create a conversation around it. As we move towards a close, we're going to be taking a break for the summer. But if these podcast series episodes have created any questions, things you want to push back on or talk about more, I'd welcome that. And you can reach out to me at mike@greshambible.org. And then as we do periodically, want to do so again, just want to say thank you to our friends at Humble Beast for the great music we get to use on the podcast. Love those guys over there and just thankful for them and their ministry. So Gresham Bible Church, love you. Until next time. Thanks.